One of the names that looms large, to say the least, in the world of orchestras, and particularly when we think about trumpets and orchestra, is, of course, your predecessor as principal, the legendary Adolf Herseth, who for more than a half century was a peerless paragon of what brilliant music making is all about. I mean,
without question.
Could you just say a word about the staggering legacy which he left behind, and the fact that you are his successor, and maybe on a professional, personal, emotional level, I don't know what that meant to you to be given that kind of mantle.
Sure, you're absolutely right when you say he was peerless. Not that there weren't great musicians, great trumpeters around before and during his time. Absolutely there were. But when Herseth came into the Chicago Symphony, he was young. He was in his 20s, but he was already an incredible talent at the trumpet, of course. But he already, when you listen to his earliest recordings, I love the old RCA Reiner records, and when you listen to even those earliest recordings, you can hear his voice as clear and as identical to the one that for me at least, grew up on listening to from his recordings in the 70s and 80s with Schulte. And so it's easy to see, if you listen back to the beginning, how he became such an icon and such a powerful force, because it yes, of course, the trumpet playing is incredible, and he was strong, and it was exciting, and it was beautiful, but it was such a unique voice from the very beginning. And he always said that for him, playing music was about telling a story, and telling a story, for himself, but also for the audience. And his force of will and his own mind, his idea for what the music meant to him, what a phrase meant, sometimes what just a single note meant to him, was so powerful that he imposed that on everyone else, on his colleagues in the orchestra, on conductors many times, and on the audience, of course, and all around the world. And so that, to me, the greatest lesson I take from him, besides the incredible dedication on a daily basis, because playing any instrument is taxed, physically difficult, mentally difficult. It requires dedication, but playing the trumpet well every single day requires a degree of dedication that even now sometimes baffles me. besides his incredible personal integrity and commitment to what he did, it's his imagination and his focus and his ability to tell a story no matter where he was, no matter what the context, whether he was in the CSO, whether he was playing with students in a lesson, whether he was in Vienna in the Musikverein, didn't matter. It was the same everywhere he went. And so that to me is, I think, his most important legacy and his greatest lesson for any musician, not just a trumpet player.
Well put. Of course, one of the most tremendous thrills for you and your colleagues has to be that you get to play under a succession of extraordinary conductors. And, of course, among them, the music director of the Chicago Symphony, Riccardo Muti. Did you play under him in Philadelphia?
I did, actually, one time. He doesn't remember.
Okay.
I told him that once, and he didn't really remember.
I bet you remember him.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Could you just say a word about what that experience is like to play under a succession of amazing conductors and occasionally amazing musicians who aren't necessarily maybe the most amazing conductors? I'm thinking of, for instance, someone like an Itzhak Perlman, who now conducts, of course, a legendary violinist. I heard him conduct you at Ravinia last summer, and it was a thrilling night. But, of course, that would be a different kind of conductor under which to perform. I think for a lot of us who watch from the sidelines, we wonder in particular about what that is like to have so many different conductors on the podium, each with their own particular unique approach.
It's one of the great blessings of being in the Chicago Symphony, without a doubt, as you say. Honestly, you know, the word maestro, of course, translates in English as teacher, professor. And for me, that's these great conductors. That's what they are. You know, I and all of my colleagues in the orchestra have studied this music. We know our part, of course, quite well, and we know the piece well. Yet every time we come to rehearsal with Maestro Muti, with Bernard Haitink, with Pierre Boulez, we learn something new every time. And sometimes it's historic. Sometimes it's about a personal connection that they've had with the composer, with a legendary performer or performance back in the day. But many times it's something very simple and something very human. And Muti in particular is so gifted at balancing his incredible knowledge and ability. You know, he can solfege to you every part in the score, every bar in the score, more accurately than we can play it many times, and with better intonation. but he at the same time, he's completely human and complete and utterly approachable, despite sometimes the image you see of him in the big posters, you know, or in the photos. He is completely approachable. His greatest love, I think, is to connect with other musicians and with audience members about music. And he says that one of the reasons he loves Verdi and is so dedicated to Verdi is that Verdi shows us our humanity in all its forms, not just the ideals, but the reality of being human. You know, the pain, the failing, all of it. And so that with all of these great conductors, but particularly our current music director, we learn from them every day, and we connect with them every day. That seems to be a theme of this interview, connection. But that's what music is,
yeah,
and that's what makes them great.
It's so powerful. Tell us then about what kind of an experience it is to step away from, for instance, the Chicago Symphony, that astonishing brass section, and for you suddenly to be in the spotlight as the soloist in far-flung places like Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. I wonder, in some respects, it seems like a drastically different experience from what we have been talking about, and yet I'm sure on many levels it's very much the same experience, just playing out in a different way. Tell us about that.
Sure. But, you know, being in any ensemble, being in any institution, but particularly in the CSO, it's like a family. And it's, you know, we joke semi-joking. It's partially quite serious that being in this brass section is very much like being married to one another, because we spend as much time with each other as we spend with our spouses or partners, sometimes more, actually. so we have an understanding of one another. We have an understanding of our collective and individual experience playing together in the CSO that is difficult to completely describe to others, and because so much of it is beyond words. And so going to another place, playing with another orchestra, sometimes I've played with some festival orchestras around the world, is very exciting. It's obviously different because you don't have that same kind of connection that you've built over years and years and years, but it's, in a way, it's the same, because you immediately recognize that we're all in the same family here, you know, brotherhood of musicians, and particularly brass players. You know, it's like a plumber's union. But coming to Lake Geneva for me is very exciting, because I've read a good bit about the orchestra, and I've heard from one particular colleague I work with in the CSO who had a wonderful time there. And so for me, meeting other musicians in any location around the world at any level is, for me, very exciting, because we share the connection, we share the understanding of music, and you have a new conversation. You know, you have a new conversation in words, but we have a new conversation in music, and that to me is really what it's all about. Because I would be doing this whether I was in the CSO, whether I was in it, still in Atlanta, whether I was, you know, working in an office and playing music at night, I would, just for free, I would still be doing this. I would still be playing the trumpet. I would still keep doing what I was doing. So in a sense, nothing changes, even though the immediate sense of connection is a little bit different. But for me, it's really quite the same. And being a soloist is great, honestly, because there's, you know, when you're the soloist, you don't even have to really look at the conductor if you don't want, and no one tells you what to do. It's great.
You're playing a piece that I absolutely love, trumpet concerto by Arutunian. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be playing that for a young man about a week later for an audition or a competition that he's in, and I've accompanied this quite a number of times over the years. It's such an exciting piece of music, but it's not one people get to hear very often, played live with full orchestra.
That's true. It's an interesting piece because I think in many ways, especially for students, it's almost supplanted the mainstay of our repertoire, the Haydn Concerto in E flat major. Even though you don't hear the Arutunian quite as often in full orchestra live performance, for students, I think it's become, in my experience, kind of a first choice because it is exciting, as you say. It has a wide variety of expressive and technical passages. And the Haydn is beautiful and exciting and all of those things as well, but the Arutunian has a kind of immediacy to it that I think modern audiences and modern players respond to.
Right. It has such sizzle. It's such a dazzling showpiece.
Really,
and
right from the start, you know, the opening is right out of the gate.
Absolutely. Oh, well, I know that those musicians and conductor David Anderson and the good folk of Lake Geneva and the surrounding areas are very, very excited about this opportunity, not only to hear that and everything else on that evening's program, but to have you, Christopher Martin, on that stage the night of February 15th. And I appreciate you so much joining me today on the morning show that I can put a speaking voice with the face and with the beautiful sounds you make on the trumpet. And it is such a gratifying pleasure to speak with you. And we wish you well with all that stretches ahead for you in this impressive career which you have crafted. And best wishes, and thank you again.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.